Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Love, Light, and Passion, where award-winning social media professional Wendy Manganiello and her guests talk about turning your ideas and dreams into reality. Wendy believes that every woman can have it all, and she takes away all of the stress that comes with the social media aspect of business by providing a number of resources, including Facebook ad creation and implementation, management, coaching and training, strategy, and so much more. This show is dedicated to the loving memory of Sean Stevenson, whose instinctive ability to motivate others taught Wendy how to take a dream and allow the universe to make it into an abundant reality. Contact Wendy to do the 7 Days to Social Media Sanity Facebook Challenge and have her help you to make your goals and actions match your business plan. Don't end this year not socially ready for next year. And now, your host, Wendy Manganiello.
Hello, everyone. I am in Louisville today, and I'm sitting here on a beautiful day, very cold, but the sun is out and it's gleaming on the snow, so it's just beautiful. But I'm more excited than the weather about our guest, because I feel like I haven't been on air in forever. But we were getting everything ready to do the 2016 shows. And of course, so this is my first one of 2016. And we have, from now on, we have them booked out all the way through the end of the year. So I'm really excited about that. But today's guest, I'm super excited because we have somebody who not only knew Sean, he became a colleague of Sean. And I worked with the two of them during the time that they were working together, and it just, I'm so pleased that we've gotten it together and he's able to come on air. His name is Stephen Eric Connor, and he is a phenomenal person, and he is an expert in Enneagram, and he's going to tell us all about that. But I'm going to bring him on air to say hello, and then I'd like to, there's a little bit of background story that he may not know that I know about how they met through social media. So, hello, Stephen. How are you?
Well, hello. How are you? I'm absolutely wonderful. Thank you.
I'm so excited you're on air. We've been going back and forth, and this is wonderful that we finally have been able to get to do this.
I love it.
I have to ask you, because I don't know if you know this, but when I was working with Sean, she called me one day and she was so excited about the that you two were going to work together and do you ended up doing a workshop together, and you were trying to do some other things before she got sick, and so I don't know if you know the background of the Facebook thing, because you had sent her a friend request. Did she ever tell you about that?
I actually saw Sean on the eWomen Network as one of the premier coaches. Mm-hmm. So I initially tried to connect with her on social media. And because I was intrigued by what I saw and what she was most passionate about, the work that she had done, her journey, and it completely turned in that, you know, her being in New Jersey and me being in Arizona, she said, okay. She's a very successful coach, by the way, and mm-hmm. and she was so intrigued by the Enneagram and what it is that I do that she actually hired me to coach her on that as well. It was amazing.
Well, and so here's the funny part that I knew. At that time, she was taking like a hiatus from Facebook. At the time you sent the friend request, and I'll never forget, because she called me and she said, well, I have a rule, and the rule is, I think it was about 13 people. You had to have known or were friends with 13 mutual people for her to accept a friend request on Facebook. So I was cracking up because I heard that whole backstory of, I was taking a hiatus and I saw it and then I waited, but then I realized he had the 13 and I knew I was supposed to do this, and then I ended up accepting his friend request. So I thought that was just adorable because she told me all about it. And so I'm really excited that the two of you got together and that you were in that lucky number 13 for her, because that was her number. She had to have 13 mutual friends in order to friend somebody that she didn't know at all. So I thought that was she was very cute about those things. She would call me and tell me about stuff like that all the time about social media. So,
I love it.
But I want to know, and all of the listeners will want to know, either who are listening live or after the show, how you got started in this Enneagram work, because it's, you know, I was reading the background. It's a 2,500-year-old personality communication system, but it's not, as far as I know, one of the most mainstreams right now, because it's not like the Briggs and all of that stuff. So tell me about how you found out about it and what called you to it.
Well, it was interesting, and you know, I think everything that happens in life happens by design. And at the time in my life when I was introduced to it 14 years ago, at that time I was a divisional vice president of a national sales organization and that I'd been with for 18 years, and I was really at the pinnacle of my career. And my passion, I can take it all the way back to the time I was, you know, at, you know, 1979, when I was 20 years old, and I moved from Ohio to California, you know, after 2 years of college, studying psychology. But what I really wanted to do was that discovery of who I am. And so this, you know, all kinds of things happened along the way in the journey and people I met, but when I was at this organization, I was asked to fly over to San Diego to do some training with some of our newer managers. And when I got there, one of the vice presidents came out and said, "You're not going to train this weekend." And it was a 2-day event. And I said, "Well, why? I'm kind of curious. Why am I here?" And they had mentioned that they brought in a gentleman that was recommended by the Marriott Corporation that flew in from San Francisco that was going to talk to us about the Enneagram. Now, I got to tell you, Wendy, when I heard that word, I thought, what is the Enneagram? I never heard of it. And I had studied Myers-Briggs and studied the DISC assessment and personality profiling. And so I was very intrigued. I said, what the heck is it? And they said it was, you know, personality or human development. So I was intrigued. But I was 42 years old at that time, and I'm 57 now. And so, but at the pinnacle of my career, I walked out of that 2-day event as though someone had just introduced me to me for the very first time in my life. And what I discovered in this tool, and it's an amazing tool, is that the Enneagram is 2,500 years old, and it's got, you know, so it was around before, you know, Jesus was even born. Put it in kind of a timeline. And it's really about these 9 personalities, and what I saw in it was the transformation, and it was each one of these personalities communicates in a very distinctive language. And so when I saw that, I thought, I was so intrigued. Real quick to put that in perspective, is I brought this gentleman that I learned from in those 2 days to my Phoenix office, which was 130 in the company. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, I have a pretty established team. Let me see what it does for these guys. And I kid you not, 90 days later with the exact same team, we doubled our revenue. I thought, okay.
Wow.
And so I dug deeper, and I thought, I started working. I was doing some coaching. I've been coaching before. It was a buzzword. It used to be called mentoring and that type of thing. But so it's been over 25 years. And so I started working with this, and one of the couples I was working with relationship-wise, and another teenager I was working with, and saw incredible breakthroughs. So excited I quit my 18-year career in this organization and went out and started my own journey as a coach, trainer, and a professional speaker, and I created my own curriculum around it now and actually coming out with a book in the next 60 days called Personality Intelligence, which is the evolution of emotional and mental intelligence in every way we think, feel, and communicate.
And so that's incredible. That's well, and so in order to have such a profound change, to hear something and profoundly change from that, and I really truly believe that the most profound changes happen because you just know and you go and do that. The ones that you hang on and say, no, I got to see if this is really going to be, is the ones that you kind of miss out on. But having tell us, break it down exactly. What's different between this and the regular ones? Because, you know, you go online, and I think that's what people, you know, at least from my perspective, layman's like myself, you go online and you can take this personality test or this. And now Facebook, you know, those Facebook funny ones, there's a zillion. They diagnose your Facebook profile. But what makes this one different? Like, how do you even take this type of assessment? Is it, you know, talking somebody through? What's it like?
Well, it's an online assessment. It's a free assessment. And there's two that I've taken online that I was introduced to. And there's one that literally takes 10 minutes, and it's free. And it's simply 36 questions. And when you look at these 36 questions, it has two answers to it. And if both answers look like they would apply, if you had to choose one, which one would you choose? If neither really feel like they apply, if you still had to choose one, which one would you choose? And what I would suggest, and even though it asks you to look at your life journey, your history, is I want people to take the assessment while they're in their present state of being. Because that's where we are right now. And so when I've had people take this assessment, they then, you know, email me their results. And I offer as a gift in people's curiosity in this, a free overview of their results for them. But what I've seen in this particular tool is that everything that we learned from the time we were children up until the time I was introduced to this is really behavioral driven. For example, when you were a little girl, you either were a good girl or a bad girl. You either got good grades or bad grades. And if you got your first job, you got a good review or a bad review. But really, did anybody teach you who is Wendy? So we've learned to conform. So when I saw this, what it shows me is that when we see behavior, what the Enneagram has revealed in the work that I've done with it is it's the motivation behind the behavior. So instead of me looking at, let me put a Band-Aid on that scratch on your arm, well, what did I do to create me being in a position to even get the scratch in the first place? And what led me to that? And so each of these nine personalities, when they're all, I look at them, when I say healthy, is a conscious state of awareness. When they're healthy, they're all absolutely amazing. And when they're unhealthy, which is kind of an unconscious default autopilot, the way that we just kind of function, is they're all destructive in a very unique way. And so what I looked at in the way that I teach this, I don't teach people necessarily about the Enneagram and the history and the origin. I've narrowed it into a place that resonates with all of us, and it's relative to how we communicate. And if I may, on that note, so for example, in my teaching, and it's going to be in my new book as well, my signature way of teaching this is what I call the three levels of awareness. So level one is I put my hand on my chest and I got to say, well, who am I? You know, not who do I hope people think I am or what people have told me that I am, but let me go on this journey that's inside my skin and my body that I've been given. Who am I? Because our bodies function automatically. We don't have to remind ourselves to breathe. If I scratch my arm, I don't have to say, I command you to stop bleeding. It just does. It clots. So our body's fighting for its survival all the time. And so there's this energy within us, and every one of us, from the time we're little to the time we're, you know, our last few breaths in life, we all have a personality. The key is learning how to make the personality work for you rather than it just taking you for a ride. So level one is who am I? Level two is who is Wendy? And here's the key to that. Without any bias and without any judgment or any form of how I might perceive you to be. You just get to be you. And when people are allowed to be themselves and they get into that journey of who they are in their presence, that's very liberating. And here's the key to it all. Level three is how do we, because until we connect, we're really not communicating. We're simply taking turns talking. And, you know, in my work with Sean, and when I first shared this with her, because Sean was really in a wonderful place when we initially met. And we met over the phone, and I shared this with her, and she had so many ahas, like, oh, my God, no kidding. When I went over her results with her and she started sharing things that she's done in her life, things became so crystal clear that she and I collaborated and put together an event, and I flew back to New Jersey for a six-hour event that we did. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at these three levels of awareness, for example, when I talk about the connection, is that, let's say that if I'm talking to someone and they speak Spanish and I speak German, those are two different languages. And so we may not really be communicating very well. And see, that's an obvious one, but we all in our lifetime have learned how to talk, but we really weren't taught how to communicate because that requires knowing who we are.
And, you know, that is so funny. You said the on your chest and you know who you are, but because Sean had me do an exercise like that when I was coaching with her. But what's amazing to me is there's such truth to who you are told you are because of who you were born to, where you were born, and almost breaking that cycle to say, okay, it's okay to be really who I am. And so in your experience of working with people and having them find out about their personalities and becoming able to communicate, what, if you had to pick your top three, what are the things that you would say locks people the most to be able to become their true selves, or if they're going through this process of, you know, being in the now and finding out their personality, what are those roadblocks that you see that comes up, and how do they navigate through them to really, really be there? Because even if they did this, I would, you know, I know Sean was an extreme for aha, and I loved when she did that, but what do you see with other people who may be a little bit more not as aware or afraid to get there? Like, what blocks them from being able to be really them? Is it all of those old ideas they can't let go of, or is it present stuff that just, you know, they just don't know how to deal with it because they've never had to deal with it?
Well, I think, and that's a great question, I think what I've seen, and because I've had the opportunity of working with clients from Japan to the Bahamas, mm-hmm. and from corporations to teenagers and everybody in between, you know, Grammy-nominated, you know, musicians or what have you. And what I've seen that some of the blocks are, if you think about, just if we sit still for a minute and look at what has kind of made me get stuck anywhere in my journey, well, a lot of times it has to do with that feeling of acceptance, which comes back to self-love. You know, who am I? And am I okay in that person's eyes? Am I okay in this job? And so we go to that place of acceptance and trying to find our place. And then that, you know, can also lead to almost a conformity, if you will, that leads us to a place of familiarity and habit. Well, the last time I did that, that didn't work. Well, so now I'm basing it on what I've already experienced, and really what we've already experienced, if we think about it this way, what has already happened in our life has already had its day. Why am I comparing my current experience to something that already had a turn? So when I look at, for example, if I look at one of the personalities, the type 1 personality of these 9 types, I'm a type 2 and a helper. I've lived my whole life like that. I just didn't know it. And so now that I'm aware of it, you'll never see me in a workshop raise my hand and say, well, I'm a helper. You know how we are. No, that means I'm stuck in it. I simply want to know how it works, what the mm-hmm. energy is that creates how I show up. So, for example, the type 1 is a reformer. The reformer is kind of a critic. No matter how orderly things are, they could always be in more orderly. They're the perfectionist. So if I'm communicating with a type 1 and I am a type 2, which is a helper, and that person is kind of the perfectionist, if I just speak my language, I'm just kind of hoping they get it. But if I know that that person has that communication language of a reformer, then I know that being right is what is most motivating in how they are and how they communicate. So let's say, for example, I'm communicating with a colleague of mine, and they say, Stephen, here's a great idea that I came up with. And if I don't agree with the idea, the worst thing I can do for them is say, oh, come on, man, that's ridiculous. Their biggest fear is being wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of making them wrong, I want to connect and say, well, let me ask you, man, have you ever considered also looking at it like this? See, I can give them an alternative way of seeing it without making them wrong. So I'm speaking their language. The connection is still there. If I make them wrong, they're now disconnected because I did what their biggest fear is.
Huh.
And so each one of these personalities has you know, they're all driven by a certain motivation. As a helper, when I do things unconditionally, to where I have no attachment to the outcome necessarily. For example, I'm on a panel tomorrow or next week for some young entrepreneurs, and it's me volunteering my time. I'm honored to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that to me is being healthy. But when a helper can find them slip into a place of being unhealthy, they almost feel like they're a victim. They start defending themselves, and then they do things because they want something in return. Well, I did this for you, so come on. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, and a helper, if you've ever heard somebody say, I can't believe that they would do that to me because I would never do that to them. It sounds like a victim.
Right.
So I can see that what the Enneagram teaches is I can see how my energy through my conversation and personality is showing up, and because I'm aware of it, I can change it and reroute it, so to speak. So, for example, what I mean by that is, if you had a GPS in your car and your car says, go down four lights and turn left, if you saw an accident down there and you turn left at the next light, your GPS simply says rerouting. Still taking a different route, you're still going to get there. The Enneagram is like an internal compass. If I can see something that might make me anxious, which might make me react in a different way, I can see it happening while it's happening, and I can reroute that, and I don't have to have that experience.
That's incredible. I'm listening to this. I'm laughing because I'm wondering if my husband is a type 1 because we've had many of those. And I think I have to see if I'm a type 2. I could see that I would be, but I'm that's really funny. Well, I'm like, oh, yes, you're right about that. But that leads me to this question is how many times have you had somebody take it and, you know, maybe they pre-read, if they pre-read what the personality types possibly could be, and then they take the test and they go, oh, yeah, now I could see it. Like that they were surprised with the results that they thought in their head, well, I'm here, and they're actually somewhere else on the spectrum of it.
It happens often. In fact, the guy who initially taught me that I hired to coach me thought I was a type 3, and I'll tell you what that means. The 3 is the achiever. He met me when I was a vice president in sales and setting records and leading the company.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens, if you look at, and I don't want to get too deep in it on our call here today, but if you look at the Enneagram, and it goes in a circle in the diagram, people can Google it, take a picture at the diagram.
Mm-hmm.
In that circle, the number that, I'm a type 2, so for example, the number before and after my number would be 1 and 3. The Enneagram refers to that as a wing, like a left wing and a right wing. I have two left arm and a right arm. So there's times I will take on the personality or energy of that wing. And then there's 2 lines that come off of each number, each type, and connects it with another number, another type. One of them you go to in security, and the other one you go to in stress. So at any given time, 5 of these 9 personalities are flowing through the energy of everybody that's walking around this earth. And most people don't even know it exists. They just keep showing up, and what they do is if they're not familiar with it, then they start living by habit. And here's the thing I love to share with people is that if you think about how unique we are, nobody has your DNA or your fingerprints, one of a kind. And here's the key is that, for example, I put my hand on my chest again. I'm the only person in my life that can never leave me. My dad passed on. My kids grew up. They've moved out. But when I leave me, it's night-night. So if I can never leave me, wouldn't it be the most amazing journey in my life to get to know who I get to hang out with all the time?
That's very powerful. And I think, well, at least from my perspective of the people I meet and talk with and is that I think in the busyness of our world, we forget that we carry around ourselves. I think we really do as a human, especially in the U.S., I think we really forget that we carry around us and we follow us wherever we go.
Yes.
And so you need to learn how to be able to be okay with yourself because there's nobody else that's really, in that essence, you can't leave you. You're right. You just can't.
Well, and now think about what people default to, and we've all learned this because we've all been really taught from a young age to be behavioral driven. So when we look at that piece right there, for example, is that, you know, we're a human being, not a human doing. But the way people communicate when they meet you for the first time, they say, "Hi, Wendy, what do you do?"
Right.
Versus, "Hi, Wendy, gosh, who are you? Tell me about you." I got to tell you real quick, there was a young man I hired back in the 90s. He was 19 years old, youngest guy that I ever brought into the company. And we were role-playing that 30-second commercial because we were going to, you know, soundbite. We were going to go to a networking event. Got to the event, and I'm like, okay, here we go, man. And so sure enough, a gentleman walked up to him and said, "Hi, Terry," or "Hey, young man." He goes, my name is so-and-so from Honeywell. What do you do?" And I'm like, "Come on, man, you got this." And he froze like a deer in headlights. But what was amazing, this 19-year-old man who I was supposed to be training him, he taught me something that day. His response was better than what I taught him. He said, "Sir, would you like to know who I am rather than what I do? Who I am is much more exciting."
That's awesome. And I think, yeah. Well, you know, I was going to say that. I think that people, out of, when we go back to habits, that is, even for me, I have to be very careful because my habit is always to say, "What do? Because you don't know where to go with the uncomfortability of meeting somebody new sometimes.
It's habit. So if we could simply say, "Tell me a little bit about you." And then I give you the choice whether you want to tell me something personal or professional.
That's incredible. So in your experience, if people do this, let me back up. In your experience, in order to kind of get to that notion, because you have this great quote, "Define yourself based on your vision, not your history. Change takes time. Breakthroughs happen in an instant."
Yeah.
How do you find that happens in this process? Is it all of a sudden that aha moment? Does everybody else see it in this person before they do, like that they're getting this? when people go through this work?
One of the things I did in a workshop once, I said, by show of hands, and I was one of these people, I said, by show of hands, does anybody in here ever analyze things? Well, everybody raised their hands. And this was a relationship workshop. I said, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want, from this day forward, I don't want you to ever analyze anything else again. And one guy in the back said, "Wait a minute, how do you do that?" Because when we analyze, if you think about this, when we analyze, we're in our heads, we're in our brain, and we're looking for an answer. And when we find an answer, we're like, aha, there it is. It's not necessarily the answer, it's an answer. See, so what I asked this group to do in this workshop was, I'd like you to consider replacing analyzation with observation. So I don't have to sit and analyze who Wendy might be, because invariably I'm probably going to be wrong. I would rather observe, and then you get to show up as who you are. And I get to, you know, say, okay, that's who she is. And so, for example, in the same class, I said, "Has anybody in the room ever had somebody, you know, mess with your head mentally?" And everybody raised their hand. I said, "How about mess with your heart emotionally?" Everybody raised their hand. Excuse me. I said, the key to life is I'm not afraid to be vulnerable, but vulnerable in a healthy way, because I'm consciously aware. When I'm vulnerable and I'm not aware, then I feel like someone might be lurking over my shoulder. But what you have is, when the disconnect of being only mentally or emotionally engaged, we show up as a whole being. And so if we look at our head, I point to my head and I say, that's the mental, my heart is the emotional. Bring the mental starts with an M, the emotional starts with an E. When I bring them together and they work for me, that's me, M-E. You can't mess with me.
Mm-hmm.
There's a presence of me that stepped into the room. And, you know, an example, a buddy of mine who's a doctor, we had this little debate on what's in charge, the head or the heart. And I said the heart, and he said the head. I said, we could go to any hospital in town and find somebody that's been clinically diagnosed as brain dead, but their heart still beats. But when your heart stops beating, it doesn't matter how smart you are. So
yeah.
The heart, and the only organ in our body that rhythm beats is our heart. So I came up with an acronym for that. If our head beats, by the way, that's a headache. So the only, I came up with an acronym for because the Enneagram to me has a real spiritual origin. And
mm-hmm.
spirituality requires a little bit of faith. And the acronym for faith is FAITH, is finding answers in the heart.
Oh, I like that.
When I'm finding my answers in my heart, then I want to engage my thoughts, and I want that to make my thoughts make it all make sense. But I don't want to think necessarily first, because then I'm going to try to, I can think my feelings and not even engage my heart. In fact, I watched a documentary on TV about a year ago, and it showed the heart and the brain. It said that because people, there's always been a debate, but the heart fires off like a nanosecond faster than the brain does when it, or the emotion, the feeling. So when we find our answers in our heart and understand who it is that we are, it's there's a liberation that, for example, when I was working with Shawn and teaching her this Enneagram, she discovered some things about her that she really already knew, but now it became crystal clear. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and I think that's the biggest thing is that a lot of times people know about themselves. They've been told by, you know what I mean? Or they've heard, not in a negative sense, but they've learned it, but then being able to process it and feel it to change it or to move with it or to learn how to flow with it is completely a different story for most people. They, you know, sometimes people use what they know as a block instead of a growth spur. So that I think that's key what you said.
Yeah, it's you're absolutely right. I look at when we allow ourselves just to understand who we are. The key is always who, and because we know we can learn how to do things, right? I used to draw a circle, and when I was teaching salespeople, I used to draw a circle on a piece of page and draw out 25% of it. Like a little pie shape. And I said, that's the how, and the 75% is why. I said, why do you want to be successful, and your why can't have anything to do with money? I get to see who they are then. I said, here's the reason why the why has to be three times the size of how. I can teach you how. I can't teach you why.
Mm-hmm.
And when you come up with your why, it starts to show who you are, and I can show people through their personality who is now answering that question on their behalf. It's amazing. You know, my son was 14 years old when he's 20 now, raised him by myself from the time he was 2. And he struggled a little bit in school up until he was about a freshman in high school. And one of his buddies said, his buddy Matt said, hey, Brandon, what does your dad do? And my son said, I don't know. He talks to people. I thought, come on, man, it's a little more than that. And so I realized he didn't really know, and I didn't really try to show it to him yet because he was a little younger. And so I had him come to one of my events. It was a 90-minute presentation. I've created a workbook that's about 100 pages, and I narrowed it down to about a 7-page handout, 6 or 7 pages.
Mm-hmm.
And he walked out of the event, and I said, so tell me what it is. I said, what do you think about what dad does now? And he put his hand on his chin, and he said, I think my mom is a type 6, Dad. And my mom and he were divorced, and I had worked with her on this. And what's ironic is that she is a type 6. The 6 is the loyalist, and the loyalist has a high need for security. And when they don't feel safe, they either get clingy or they run.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked Brandon, a 14-year-old kid, I said, then how would you communicate with your mom? He said, maybe when she gets anxious, I should just say, Mom, what would make this safer for you right now?
Oh, that's incredible.
He spoke her language. Their relationship improved because he got it. And what was amazing was he didn't struggle in school anymore. When he was in high school, he ended up having honorable grades. He knows
that's
who he is.
Mm-hmm. And I think, and isn't that a great thing, because that's, you always want to be able to give your child to have them to know who they are and and follow that. And I think as parents, sometimes we forget that that's the first place that that should start, out of good intention. And then you realize, take a step back and allow them to know who they are and give them the tools to know who they are so that they can go out in the world and have it safe. I love everything you've been talking about. I just think it's some of the things you've said are incredible. And I think that most part people don't know to look at things this way. I think, like I said, we get into busy, we get into the world, even spiritual people. I think that sometimes you move away and you come back and you say, oh, yep, that's the last piece of that connection. I'm still missing that. And how do I go deeper? I don't want to miss out kind of bringing this personally and professionally. I don't want to miss asking you this question about what a success, the success circles with the five most influential people in your life, what that is and how that can help our listeners.
Thank you. That's another great question. When we look at who we are, you know, all of us are influenced by people. I mean, you've been to a movie before that you really liked and you told a friend, oh my gosh, you've got to see this movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's influence. That's totally influence. So when we look at who are the five most influential people in your life, and when we look at that, in other words, who do you spend the most of your time and or thoughts with? And somebody asked me once if they had to be alive. I said, no, I think about my grandfather all the time. And mm-hmm. So when you ask that question, who are those five people, then ask yourself, I'm influenced by them, is it empowering or is it disempowering? And I heard something similar to that back when I was 25. And I thought, man, he's out, she's out, and he ain't going to make it. Because three of the five people that were kind of in my circle, they were good people. They just weren't moving mm-hmm. the direction that I had a vision for I wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really want to get healthy on this, whose list are you on and how are you influencing them? So, for example, there was a young man that I worked with who was on a drug, chemically dependent, and he was only 20 years old, and his mother, grandmother hired me to coach with him. And, I mean, the guy, he was just struggling. They had tried everything, and they found me online and gave me a call. When I started working with this young man, what he really he just kept showing up somewhere. And I talked about presence and who he was. And I said, the key is you got to find yourself. What he got trapped in was, he'd say, man, I just kind of end up over that same place again where I'm not supposed to be. And so I gave him two things. I'll talk about the influencer in a moment. First thing I said, I want to give you an anchor. I want you to ask yourself, and I want you to say to yourself, I'm right here. And when you say that, I want you to look around. Right now I'm standing in my office at home.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's my presence. And he did that, and he caught himself halfway over to this place where he was getting struck. And he turned around and went back home. He's been clean ever since we worked together. And what was amazing, though, the influence, is one of his relatives saw him, you know, experiencing this. I'm not using names because it's all confidential. One of his
mm-hmm.
relatives knew he was in a room, and he'd been in there a while, and they said through the door, are you in there doing that again? And now here's what I wanted to share with the relative, is that I was working with him so he could set himself free. You know,
mm-hmm.
I don't set him free. He sets himself free from needing this place that he had kind of got familiar with in his life. But this relative kept reminding him of where he had been stuck when they communicated with him like that.
Right.
Are you in there doing that again? Oh, my God, I'm trying to get away from this energy. You see what I mean? So
mm-hmm.
I had to work with the relatives as well and say, you're kind of taking away the work we're accomplishing. You're a major influence in his life. Instead of asking him if you're doing it again, just say, is everything okay? Because that way, it doesn't label that person.
Right.
I completely
agree. And what, just quickly, because you do work with a lot of people, and I like this idea of the success circles and who's in it and who are you in it. But more, and how, what is a start of, because I think And I've seen so much written on this, and I love reading about this, but the language we use affects everything we do. I completely believe this. And so, you know, how do people start with, you know, and it's very hard not to, you know, have it come through your head and not out your mouth sometimes. So when you have somebody like that, A, that you don't react, and B, that you, but how do you, what's the beginning way to even stop saying everything that you want to say, and if it's negative? Because we all know that person where you're like, all right, I just have to get away from that energy right now. You love them. You know, they might not be in your, just, you know. So A, how do you react in a kind and loving way? But B, if you're that person, because at some point in time you push everybody away based on your energy, how do you start to make that change?
I think it becomes the awareness. Yeah, a friend of mine years ago would always say, he'd do something to where you get frustrated and say, God, how can I be so stupid? And I thought, he's labeling himself. So I'd ask him a question. I said, man, let me ask you a question. If somebody else called you stupid, how would you feel? He said, it made me mad. I said, well, why would you allow yourself to call yourself stupid? I mean, if somebody else said that, it would make you mad. So what you're doing is you're creating this energy inside yourself that's really frustrating you because you heard yourself say you were stupid, and all of a sudden now you're standing in this energy of being stupid, and you're wondering why you're doing it, but it all came out of your mouth. So when we catch ourselves and we start listening to what it is that we say, and one of the ways to really understand that, is especially when we're in the presence of another, is pay attention to how people are responding. If I'm communicating with a child, and if I come on a little bit too strong and I see them kind of wither and withdraw, then, wow, I got to lighten that up a little bit. But if I'm not paying attention to that, I could be, you know, really, you know, doing some damage in that conversation with a child, and they walk away, they feel bad, and I just got something off my mind. That's just, that's easy to do. That's lazy to me. But to think about, how is the other person being influenced or impacted in the conversation that they're having with me? And were they able to walk away with this learning something? Did they feel good about themselves? Or did they walk away feeling like, well, I'm sorry I met that guy? When we look at how we're showing up, that's one way that we can really pay attention, is how do people around you communicate with you? And just start really paying attention to the language that's going back and forth. Is it something that really shows your presence, or are we just talking about the gossip of the day, or what is it that we're doing? And so I think, again, it's what I'd like to – what I like is when people are willing to at least take a look.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I'm in that presence of who they are, and I've done it this way for years. I've had other coaches or colleagues tell me, why would you do that? You're giving your services away. But when people aren't sure what this is and they're really kind of searching, I'd love them to take this reassessment. And then I just, as my gift, let me show you what it all means. And if it works for you, we can talk about where you want to go with it. And if it doesn't work, that's okay. But when I look at, there's one other thing I was thinking here a moment ago, is, and I made a little note for it, but you'd ask, you talked about the human being versus the human doing for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Is when we're younger, you know, somebody probably, and I'll ask you this instead of saying probably, did anybody ever ask you when you were younger, gosh, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Yep, all the time.
The key word in there is not, instead of saying what do you want to be, is who do you want to be is a good one, but the key word was be. And then when we start getting all excited, we get in high school or get later on in life, people say, oh, quit dreaming, man, you get a job. So I'm taken out of that place of being. Now I'm told to do.
Right.
I'm told to conform. And that's okay if in my journey that I still look at, I want to be. A philosophy, for example, and because somebody asked me this actually yesterday, they said, Stephen, when you look at, you know, if I were to describe when people say you're a life coach or whatever, I think that can be taken and, you know, it's kind of watered down nowadays. But what I specialize in is life transformation through personality intelligence. So life transformation through personality intelligence is that the transformation, for example, one of the things that, and I'll ask you this, but I'll tell you mine as well, but one of the things that I experienced growing up as a kid was a lot of judgment. You know, there was a lot of prejudice and, I mean, name-calling. And so judgment really hurt me as a kid. But watch the transformation, and what hurt me as a kid now is my greatest gift. So when I talk about that three levels of awareness, level one, who am I? Let me talk about how my energy showed up, and I can reveal that in these nine personalities. Level two is who are you without any bias, opinion, or judgment? So I saw what it was to hurt me, and so I don't allow that to hurt anyone else. I allow that to be the gift. So what was one thing maybe in your journey that, you know, kind of hurt, and how to transform that into your greatest gift? And you're doing part of, you know, what I see right now, you're already doing that and just honoring Sean by having this program.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go back deeper, what was something that, you know, happened with Wendy? And, you know, not to, you know, say that on the air here, but think about something that happened. And it's like, how did you transform that rather than that being the label that you had to carry around for the rest of your days?
Right.
And when we look at that, we start understanding more of who we are.
And let me ask you this too, because and I'm just out of curiosity because of the age that happened at it that when you found this. And And this is just because I don't have that thing about millennials and either this or that. I just think that if people are people and if you work with them, they'll get there. But do you see that the older somebody gets, the more open they are to this? Or do you think that it's based on from the beginning, because we're talking about behaviors and how people are, you know, raised. But do you see that? Because I kind of feel like, and maybe that's part of this, is that I used it in the back of my head, is that not that I don't care, but the older I get, I don't care what you think. And I think that in my case, it has become from doing work, from maturity. So is that, or is that, well, you know, it's an easy cop out to say that it's because of age as opposed to just being truly who I was beforehand. So what's your take on that? Is it an age thing, or is it a people come into who they are when they come into who they are at any age?
You know, I think I can say both in that answer, and let me explain. Is that I think as I was curious as I was younger, but then I got into this job in aerospace and this job in my sales career. While I was still learning, I still didn't find that presence yet that I could really see that with clarity. I think as people get older, we've experienced things and we have more to look back on. And I can then say, okay, now let's look at your personality. Now that you're aware of that, can you see how you've lived up till now? Mm-hmm. Was that healthy? Were you healthy, unhealthy here, and so forth? But what I'm also finding is I created a mentoring program that I work with teenagers. And when that old saying, when the student's ready, the teacher appears, there's certain mm-hmm. people now, I think there's an awareness because, you know, the technology and internet, if people are curious, they can find information.
Right.
But I think nowadays, I think it's just timing. It's more than the age. It's the awareness of, is this all there is? Is there something that can help me be more clear? Because the more clarity I have, the less I have to live habitually or with what I'm only familiar with. You know, I went to high school with some people that they've never really, you know, they still live in the same little town I grew up in. And they've never gone anywhere. Well, I've been 46 of the states and been out of the country. Gosh, what an experience. And we don't know what we don't know. In fact, because of that, the last chapter in my book I'm writing right now, the last chapter is titled, Now That You Know. Now that you know, you have information to make new decisions with.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if we've ever said, you know, how did I get here again? It's called a habit. It's called familiarity. And if we want to see maybe something just a little outside of that, it's like, for example, there was with Sean one time we were on the phone, And I said, Shawn, I want you to tell me where you're at. And she said, I'm sitting in a chair in my living room. I said, I don't want you to move, but I want you to have an out-of-body experience with me for just a moment. I said, and it's not disconnected, it's like a long umbilical cord, where the spirit of you, the spiritual part of who you are, let that go to the other side of the room and turn around and look at you having this conversation with me on the phone. And what does the spirit of you want you to see or know right now?
Hmm.
So when she answered that, there's no way she could be in her head.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was answering with something that was bigger than she was. And when she answered that question, I said, now let me go back and show you where your personality answered in that question. She said, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And now you can see. And now there's a light on it rather than it kind of just kind of comes out as we talk. We can't see the air coming out of our mouth, but now we can come out and we'll see it happen. So it's really, I think, to answer your question, it's that time when people are really ready. You know, I've had clients that were 70 years old, and I've had clients that were you know, teenagers.
Right. Mm. Mm. I cannot believe we only have like 8 minutes, almost a little over 8 minutes left, because this has been phenomenal. Do you have any closing advice for our listeners?
Absolutely. One of the things I'd share with people is that when people ask me about, for example, just coaching, and you know, I have about 5 coaches I'm consistently tapped into, and any coach that doesn't have one, I'd say run.
Mm-hmm.
And so look at the philosophy of what it is that you want and where you want to be. For example, if you drew like a little squiggly line on a piece of paper that went back and forth like a little snake, our journey is not a straight line. And so if that were your life journey, my role would be simply to be a light on the pathway about 3 feet in front of you, so that when it makes the winding turn, you'll see that, oh, you still see the pathway because of the light. You don't have to step into a dark spot. And then the goal would be is once you get about halfway down this journey here in our time together, is that the transformation that is no longer my light, it's yours.
Mm.
And so I'll share that to make this point. A friend of mine who has been coaching and speaking for many 40 years probably, and we shared the stage over 20 years ago, and just, you know, lovely person. I've known her husband, been married, you know, probably 50 years. She was, we spoke together at community colleges here for 3 years in a row. And after the second year, her husband had moved out of state for a while. And so I hadn't seen her. And so she came back, and I thought, man, I can't wait to see my old friend. We get to this big auditorium, and I get to the doorway, Wendy, and I look over and I see my friend. And she smiles, and I gave her a wave, and I'm walking over there to, you know, give her a hug and say, how's things going? I got about 10 feet from her table, and she came around the table, and she scolded me. And she said, don't you ever do that again. And I said, do what? She said, Stephen, your light was so bright that when you came to the doorway, I looked up. But because you were honoring me, the closer you got to me, you dimmed your light to be in the light of my presence. And don't you ever dim your light to be in anyone's presence. God gave you a light for you to shine.
Mm-hmm.
We don't, and see, sometimes when we, like if somebody were to meet a celebrity, it's, oh my God, they kind of put them up a little higher than they are. No.
Mm-hmm.
You have a light inside of you. So if you took a light above, light bulb above your head, and, you know, envision that and bring it all the way down into your body, and that light, don't dim it down, crank it up so bright that it bursts outside of you when you spread your arms straight out and you go on a circle motion. That's your aura. That's your space. Now you're living in your light. So don't ever dim your light.
That's beautiful. I love that. Love that. Love that. Love that. Oh, my gosh. Okay. We're running out of time. This has been phenomenal. We have a commercial plan from you, but I hear that you may have a bonus for our listeners. So we want to know all about that, and then we'll get all your contact information in the commercial. So let us know what that is.
Well, first I want to thank you for this time. This has been an absolute pleasure. But what I'd like to share with the listeners, I'm so passionate about this, is that if they would like to learn a little bit more about the Enneagram or their personality, how they're communicating and what have you, is if they send me an email, and I'll give you my personal email, is Stephen Eric Connor is my name. The email is seconor77@gmail.com. If they send me an email with the word Enneagram in the subject line, which is Enneagram, then I will send the link, that free link, and they can take this assessment. And as my gift, then I will give them a phone coaching session with me to review their results and share with them what that means in their lives for taking their time to be on the show with us today.
Oh, awesome. I may even take you up on that. This has been incredible, incredible, incredible. And I want to thank you before we go to commercials and all that and end the show, because you ended up kind of working with Sean at the same time I worked with Sean. And not that she wasn't phenomenal and wonderful and incredible before that, but as you spoke today, I could hear all that you passed on to Sean from our coaching session. So thank you, because I feel like now listening to you that I was coached by both of you.
Thank you.
That's pretty incredible for me to be able to sit on this side and really realize that. So this has been a beautiful, wonderful Blog Talk radio show for me, you know, just hearing you and talking with you. And I am so blessed and grateful you came on the show today. I encourage everyone to take Stephen up on doing the Enneagram and getting the coaching session, because I know from Sean how much it helped her and how much she talked about it and the light that she just she showed with everybody because of it, including myself. So, and thank you again. We are about at the time to start commercials, but thank you, Stephen. I really, really appreciated and loved everything you had to say today.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to be on the show, and I wish everybody an absolute blessed day, and make every day special.
Thank you. And we're going to go into commercials, and I will talk to you again next week. We will have another show. Look on Social Abundance Marketing's Facebook page to find out the new guest time show. And you can listen to this session anytime on demand if you want to hear it again. Have a great day.
How much do you really know about yourself? Are you consciously aware of what influences your thoughts, emotions, and choices? People habitually function on autopilot, unaware of the motivation behind their behavior. And one of the biggest challenges in life is miscommunication. For 25 years, Stephen Eric Connor has been custom designing coaching and training programs for corporations, entrepreneurs, families, and teens, teaching the science and power of communication. He is the creator of Personality Intelligence, the evolution of emotional and mental intelligence in every way you think, feel, and communicate. Stephen is a specialist in using the timeless wisdom of the Enneagram, a 2,500-year-old personality and communication system, for connecting self-awareness, intention, and desired outcomes. To learn more about personality intelligence, email Stephen@StephenEricConnor.com. Put personality intelligence in the subject line, and he will email a free link to a 10-minute assessment and schedule a complimentary debriefing of your results. You've been listening to Love, Light, and Passion with Wendy Manganiello. Visit her at www.socialabundancemarketing.com.